We are in heavenly places. What chapter is this? Page 101. I guess it doesn't have chapters. And it's titled, I Have a Guardian Angel for April 4th, which is today, 2014. It starts off with Psalm 103, verse 20, and it says, Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Oh, there's another one. I had when I say another one, I'm talking about, I think that there's another one. Let me just see here. Angels keep the law. Oh, it's the same one. Okay. So if anybody asks, or if anybody tells you that the Ten Commandments are only for the Jews, and then ask, oh, so angels are Jewish? You know, because before a Jew was ever even born, the angels kept the law. So it says right here, and we all know angels come from eternity, and if they were keeping commandments on day one, they would be keeping commandments now and back then, because they are eternal beings, except for the ones that fell. They'll be dying soon. And in comparative to that, which is eternity, they're dying very soon. Okay, it's 1,000 years, yeah, when they're going to die, but still. For eternity, that's a drop in a bucket. That's one day. Anyway, it goes on to say that today, as in the past, all heaven is watching to see the church develop it in the true science of salvation. The Lord Jesus is among men. His angels walk among us unrecognized and unacknowledged. We are saved from many snares and unseen dangers that through the machinations and hostility of our foe are placed into our path to destroy us. And, sometimes, you know, most of the time the angels are invisible, but we do entertain angels anyway, and the Bible does say we entertain angels unaware, which means they're not going to let the cat out of the bag. It's a very rare situation where they do so. You see in the Old Testament where the angels did make themselves known. But the other toss of the coin is what Satan does, because he knows the power a supernatural being would have over the fleshly man. And after checking out John Todd's testimony before they murdered him, and also recalling the things that I saw in my past when I used to mess with the occult, and some of the stories that I heard from people that were very involved, fallen angels like to reveal themselves to mankind so as to gain allegiance, worship, and obedience, whatever. And so, this is, I think, one of the reasons we see some leaders that are extremely anti-Christian, especially like the popes and stuff like that, even though they claim to be Christians. It's just so, if you read a Bible, you know what the pope is. If you don't read the Bible, odds are you're a Catholic, or you're a Protestant that's joining with the Catholic Church right now. But it's just so obvious. If you read a Bible, you know what the pope is. And when you see this, you think, okay, wait a second. If these guys are Christians, or even if they're just intelligent men, how stupid can you be to actually think you can defeat Christ? But if an angel of light appears to a man, we saw what a good angel, what happened to John the Apostle when a good angel got in his presence, or even Daniel, and how they collapsed in the presence of a good angel. And the good angel, of course, tells them to get up. You know, they don't seek worship. They say, worship God and God alone. They too worship God. But a bad angel, no. He doesn't much want them to get up. He wants them to worship them. And when you get in the presence of one of these beings, I would assume, I've never been in the presence of a fallen angel, praise God, and I don't want to be. I'm going to be obedient. Jesus said, don't go there. So you won't. You know, you just don't. I won't. Hopefully you won't. And this is what concerns me about some of the brethren, that even especially the brethren that are sick, they may be lured by themselves, or they may be lured by loved ones and say, hey, look, you know, I know this guy, he's calling himself Jesus, and okay, fine, it might not be him, but the fact of the matter is, you get in this guy's presence, you will be healed. And it's just Satan. And you ain't going to be able to handle it. if the favored apostle of Jesus Christ, who was receiving the vision of Revelation, who saw him and took care of his mother on earth, and saw Jesus heal all those people, in other words, he was an apostle, one of the strong ones, if he collapses in the presence of an angel, how much would a weak Christian collapse? Very, very easily. And so, when I think about that, and especially what I saw John Todd say in regards to those typewriters that he saw in the 1960s, how they were, I don't know, he said there were hundreds of the typewriters, and they were actually typing letters without anybody sitting there. But they, of course, were just demons doing the work of Satan to make those letters go out, to have happen what's happening in our world today with the New World Order and the United Nations and all that other stuff. This was all before that stuff, or around that time. And then, of course, seeing what I saw, or my wife seeing what she saw, or even our children seeing what they saw. We all thought, of course, it was a poltergeist. But then later on you find out the word poltergeist is just a fancy word for you've been suckered into believing a demon is a poltergeist. Or a dead loved one or something, you know? A ghost. Yeah, there you go, a ghost. And so I can't help thinking guys like the popes, Obama, Tony Blair, Putin, whoever, especially guys like Putin or the leaders in China, if Satan was to appear to these guys in all his hellish glory, I have no doubt in my mind that they would collapse in worship and absolutely believe without a speck of doubt that he can defeat Christ. That's what they would be taught to believe just by the overwhelming rapturous vision of an angel standing before them. They would believe it, hook, line, and sinker, and so they're going to do everything they can to help that which they worship. And I just, you know, I can't back that up with, you know, scriptures, you know, other than say, you know, try the spirits, of course, to see if they are of God. But these guys ain't going to do that. Or even look at Hillary Clinton walking around on the, well, they say the roof, but I guess it was the some kind of a balcony on the White House talking to Eleanor Roosevelt. Thinking she's talking to Eleanor Roosevelt. It's, of course, a demon acting like Eleanor Roosevelt. And so that's what I think is going on with our leaders, and this is why we see happening what's happening. And it's bittersweet in a way, because it's bitter because, even though you don't much care for them and the way they act and stuff like that, they're just humans just like the rest of us, and it'd be nice if they didn't end up in hellfire and they would be able to live forever. But at the same time, it's sweet because I know they have no power. If I'm obedient, and even if they were to drag me and throw me behind bars, or even put me on a guillotine, I would think, that's all you can do? Because literally, that's all they can do. That's why Jesus said, don't fear those that can kill the body. Fear he can kill the body and soul in hellfire. Because they really don't have any power. And if you are obedient, and if you're doing the work of the Lord, and you're not skimping that work like Ananias and Sapphira tried to do, you know, and it's not just about money either, because, of course, they, you know how people are supposed to tithe 10%? Well, they were supposed to bring in what they were supposed to bring in. They held back a little bit, and they both dropped dead in the doorway. Well, a lot of Christians do that today. They don't tithe the way they're supposed to tithe, and they don't work the way they're supposed to work. And so when it comes time to be tested in certain situations, they're not going to make it. They just ain't going to make it because they've already shown that they're not going to be obedient. And so they're not going to be able to handle it either. But if you are obedient, I don't care how powerful guys like Obama get, they really are no problem for us. You look at them the same way David would look at Goliath when he's running towards him with five pebbles. So don't worry about it. Anyway, she goes on to say, oh, that our eyes might be open to discern the watchful solitude and tender care of the messengers of light. If those who politely acknowledge the favors which they receive from earthly friends would realize how much they owe to God, their hearts would respond in grateful thanks for precious favors that are now unnoticed. And I know this may be a little corny for me to do, but every now and then I do thank my angel. You know, I don't pray to him or anything like that because it's not wise. I pray only to the Father in the name of his Son to the best of my ability. But every now and then I'll just say, thank you, whatever your name is. I know you're there because I believe his word. I just want to thank you for what you've done and the way you've been helping me. Thank you for dealing up with my stupidity. Yeah. So, she says, we do not recount God's mercies often enough. By our failure to express gratitude, we are dishonoring our Maker. His angels, thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000, are commissioned to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation. They guard us against temporal evil and press back the powers of darkness, else we should be destroyed. Because we literally are, that's what I feel for the wicked, you know, the people that don't walk with Christ and don't even try. And they all think, oh, it's so difficult to be a Christian. You're going to have to deal with this buy and sell thing. You're going to have to deal with this guillotine and stuff like that if, in fact, you're not even part of the Gideon Band. And I'm saying, yeah, well, you know, you may think that's difficult, but I can get through that with a smile on my face. But you without Christ, whoa, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. Because you're going to have to deal with all the plagues. You're going to have to deal with whatever Satan wants to do to you. He's got permission to do whatever he wants to you because you gave it to him. And he's going to use you just as much as God would use me. You know, the difference is when the devil's done using you, he's going to have fun just destroying you and making life difficult and everything to from disease to anxiety to just downright suicide. I mean, it's just amazing how much trouble the wicked are in and how they're not they don't have a chance. It's like a sitting duck, literally. So she goes on to say that, why do we not value God's watch care? If Satan had his way and carried out his designs, destruction would be seen on every hand. Why do we not remember that we are mercifully shielded from peril? Have we not reason to be thankful every moment, thankful even when there are apparent difficulties in our pathway? Can we not trust our Heavenly Father? We shall never know what dangers, seen and unseen, we have been delivered from through the interposition of the angels until we shall see the light shall see in the light of eternity the providences of God. And that's going to be something to check out, you know, just to see. Because I imagine the angels are going to relate to us what we went through. Because, you know, we could certainly use it when we minister to those others, those people on the other worlds that have not witnessed what we witnessed firsthand. They may have somewhat of a panoramic view, but they haven't lived it. So, no one can explain it the way we can, especially the Gideon Band. So, finishing, she says, then we shall better understand what God has done for us all, the days of our life. We shall know then that the whole heavenly family watched to see our course of action from day to day. And, of course, she's talking about the angels, along with our Lord. And then she says, every believer who constantly realizes his dependence upon God has his appointed angel, sent from heaven to minister to him or her. The ministry of these angels is especially essential now, for Satan is making his last desperate effort to secure the world. And let me just throw this in there. Whatever issue you have in life, you know, that you, and we all have them, we all got those areas in life that we're easily tempted in. And we know that we got to be extra careful in those kind of areas in life. I've got them, you've got them, we've all got them. Expect that to be where he's going to focus his attack on you, and especially if you're still having issues in those areas now. If you still have issues in those areas, if you have not overcome in those areas yet, and you haven't overcome them in the days ahead, it's going to be, that little toehold is going to become something you cannot escape. You cannot escape it. You know, I don't know why I think of Danny Vera at this time, but think about that. Think about Danny Vera and what happened to him. For those of you who don't know who he was a Seventh-day Adventist minister. And he wrote a book, Heaven's Mary or something. Does anybody know the title of that book? It's got a picture of Mary on the cover. It's got a blue background. And it was a book that he used to hand out at Catholic gatherings. And it showed who the Queen of Heaven really is. And it's not the Mary of Heaven. It's the Mary of pagan Rome, which the Muslims agree with now. They even mention the Queen of Heaven in the Quran. So, no, Eli, that, no, this guy, Danny Vieira, this was 20 years ago, I think, maybe 15 years ago. He made this booklet and he used to hand it out everywhere. Well, obviously he had a problem with the flesh, because one day, I guess, he committed adultery and, he couldn't handle it after he did it. He put a gun in his mouth and killed himself. He couldn't handle the guilt. The devil knew exactly where to go with this guy. And he obviously had a toehold or something like that that he hadn't overcome. And, you know, you can't take chances. Yeah, it is very sad. You know, and we can't judge the situation. All we know is how he died. I know what the commandment number 6 says. And whether he was in his right mind or not, I don't know. I would imagine he, regardless if he committed adultery or not, he could still be forgiven if he just asks for it. You know, I would imagine even Judas could have been forgiven if he would have asked for it. But the fact of the matter is, you got to overcome. You got to work at overcoming and do your best to overcome now. You know, you don't put it off. And it could be anything. You know, it could be piddly little things too. It could even just be cigarettes. You know. You know, right there, it that'll cut your ministry short. Everything from heart disease to lung problems, any kind of problems. So, anyway, hope and pray you were blessed. Be back in a minute.